Have You Ever Seen the Rain? This is John McMullen with another of John Mack's radio rants. I just got back from a restful 10-day vacation on the Jersey coast in North Wildwood. But unfortunately, on some of the days, including our first day there, the rain came down. And my wife had planned to go to lunch with a friend and then to go shopping, and they got washed out shopping. And we had another rainy day, but by and large, it was a very restful and a good vacation. And on the vacation, for the first time, I spent a bunch of time driving my wife's 2013 Hyundai Santa Fe. And it was an interesting experience because you don't use a key in the door. You don't even use the push button. You carry a device in your pocket that they call a key, but it's really an electronic charge. It's an electronic device. And when you get near the car, it recognizes you. So if the car is locked, you can push a button on the door, and it opens the door. If you push it twice, it'll open all the doors. And you get in, and there is a starter button that you push, and away you go. Most people won't remember it, but earlier cars, you turn the ignition, and then you would push the starter button. But that went out about 50 years ago. Another interesting feature of it is if the car is locked and you come up to it with packages, it will recognize the key in your pocket, and you can open the trunk even though the rest of the car is locked and put things in. That created a problem in the early days of our ownership of the car. My wife thought there was a problem with it because every time she checks doors and she locked the car, but the trunk wasn't locked. It was really locked, but she was standing there with the key in her pocket. So when she went back to the dealer, she locked the car, and he said, "Now give me the key," and he walked away. He said, "Now try the trunk from a distance," and it wouldn't open. So that's one of the features. The only thing that it doesn't have that I like that I've seen on television ads, the Ford Compass station wagon, when you come up to it with the key, it will recognize it, and you'll be able to open the trunk by putting your foot on a pedal. So if your hands are full, it's extremely handy. There are possible problems, though, to this technology. My son was telling me when I related my the way that I liked the push buttons and the electronic devices, that he has a friend who went to visit someone a good distance from his home, and he hung his jacket up by the door when he got there. He left without the jacket, but the car was parked in front of the house, and it recognized the key that was still in the jacket. He got in the car and drove away, drove 100 miles. He stopped to get something, and he couldn't restart the car because he didn't have the key. So there are possible problems. There's another interesting feature. To once you turn the car on, if you have the electric maps and the messenger and the Bluetooth connection for your cell phone, something comes up before it will open those features that you have to accept, and the message is that I agree to practice safe driving, blah blah, and some other things, and you accept it, thinking that it's just something that they put there. Well, there really is the chip in all new cars, and this goes back to General Motors cars in the 1990s, as related to me by a New York State policeman. And this chip records your driving. So if you were on I-95 and there wasn't anyone on the road and you were going 85, and if all of a sudden you saw some obstruction and you hit the brakes and you didn't have enough time to stop it and you ran into the obstruction, and you sue your car manufacturer saying there was something wrong with the brakes. I was driving at a safe speed on a large highway and the brakes didn't hold. They could come right back to you and say, a safe speed? You were going 85 in a 50-mile zone. That was hardly a safe speed. End of discussion. But the one thing that stuck in my mind about the car is how we accept new technologies. I have I immediately was able to get in and to drive away, and partially was because that some of Barbara's earlier problems she explained to me, and I was able to adapt very rapidly. But since I've been home, I feel depressed when I have to get into my Subaru Forester or my Jeep. And I need a key, and in one case I have the button I have to use, and in the other case I have to manually open the door with a key. And it's interesting how we accept new technologies, and once we do, they become part of us. You probably don't remember before you have the cell phone, but if you do, you just stop and say, look at this smartphone now I have. It's become part of my body. And that's less than 20 years ago. Then we got into the really smartphones, to the iPhone, and all of a sudden we have online internet connection, and the iPhone begat the Android systems. And then we had the iPad, and all of a sudden tablets, which had been around for a while. Microsoft had a tablet computer 15 years ago, and we had a couple of them. And they were useless as tablets because you had to do things, you had to write on them. People did use them, but things didn't easily go into Word. Now all of a sudden everything goes into Microsoft Office. So we have whether we do it on the Macintosh or we do it in Pages on our iPads. But once the iPad came, all of a sudden tablets were in. I have I had early iPads. Now I have an Android system, the Google 10, which is the Nexus 10 from Google, which is a 10-inch and I like very much. I also recently saw the press release and an early review of the Surface Pro 3 from Microsoft. After being an early user of the Microsoft products on Windows machines, I went completely back to my Apple roots and used the Macintosh. And I never thought that I would be buying anything from Microsoft. But I have a Surface 2 and the Surface Pro 2, and I use them all the time. The Surface 2 is the tablet. The Surface Pro 2 is a tablet and a computer. The Surface Pro 3 is a deal faster than the Surface 2, and it also has a 12-inch screen, and it's as light as comparable tablets only. So at some point, I'll probably see a need for that. I don't at the present. But the problem, and we move along. I've been able to move from DOS to Windows, back to Apple products, to the Macintosh, to tablets, and we adapt to things now that used to be difficult. People would get into computers and how do I do this and how do I do that. Wired magazine had a graph on the way people accept new products. And in the beginning, there's the early adapters. There aren't many of them. I've always been an early adapter. Then all of a sudden, it was a good product. There's the big curve, almost a bell curve, and everyone's into it. And at the other end, there's the outliers, the people that haven't accepted it. That happened early in the game when Windows came out, and it was terrible, and people didn't go to it. Then it got better, and all of a sudden, along came the first web browser, Mosaic, from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. And people wanted that. Now, computer pros, technicians, hated Windows. They kept saying it's slow and it doesn't do this and I can do things better at the DOS prompt. And major firms like Lotus and WordPerfect accept their analysis and did not develop products for Windows. All of a sudden, people wanted Windows-based machines. Would they be the Macintosh? Would they be a Unix system under X Windows? And it forced people on DOS systems to move to Windows. And Microsoft was ready because it had products on the Macintosh that ran in a graphics element. They came over, and all of a sudden, Lotus and WordPerfect, who were the major provider of software, were out of business. They weren't able. They hadn't put any resource into Windows products. They were late with them. Lotus was sold to IBM. It was an attractive company because of another product, Lotus Notes, that it no longer had the cash to continue to develop and to market. And WordPerfect was sold to Novell, who thought that because Windows had networking that they better get other products, and that didn't work. They were eventually sold to Corel, and they became part of the Corel suite. And they're probably used by 10 people. So all of these things show that we're able to move. We're able to move from the old time to Apple IIs to IBM-type computers to portables like the Compaq that were as heavy as sewing machines, to laptops, to cell phones, to smartphones, to tablets, to a combination of the tablet and the computer, like the Surface Pro 2 and even better, Surface Pro 3. We adapt very well to technology. We didn't used to, but now we do. One thing we don't do very well is look at the dangers of every new technology. Most of us should be encrypting our email. Probably 1% of the population does. Perhaps all of the Snowden revelations will get us to do that. But we don't look at some of the problems that we may have. When everyone had a smartphone, all of a sudden we had people texting while driving and causing accidents. So we have to be careful. We have to evaluate things. But it was still a terrific vacation, and I'm extremely happy with the products, and we'll go on with new products. Be well. A good song, and I enjoyed The Dying Rebel by the Wolf Tones, but I like the original that I heard anyhow. I mean, the original by Ruthie Morrissey years ago in Rockaway at Mickey Carter's Mayo House. See you soon.